Hey, what's up, everybody? You're listening to the Enterprise Architecture Radio. If you're thinking about organizational complexity and agility, if you're concerned about operational efficiencies and thinking of taking it to the next level, if managing innovation is one of your priorities, you've come to the right place. On this podcast, we talk about all of that and more. It's a jungle out there, and we'll attempt to navigate this jungle of frameworks, methods, and most importantly, enterprise architecture in practice. In this episode, we are talking about enterprise architecture tools, and we are talking about some enterprise architecture fundamentals before we can get to the tooling part. So today we will talk about the architecture repository. Now, people who are new to enterprise architecture will immediately start thinking that enterprise architecture tools are some kind of designer tools like Visio, where we draw diagrams. But there is more to enterprise architecture tools than just the editor. One of the most important things about an enterprise architecture tool is the architecture repository. Now, one of the misconceptions that new enterprise architects have is the architecture repository is a file location, like a SharePoint site or some file location somewhere. But that's not how it is. An enterprise architecture repository needs to be smart. It needs to be able to store things in such a way that they become more and more productive, that they become more and more reusable. And there's a good amount of automation as well. So how do we achieve that? Now, different tools obviously achieve different mechanisms to implement this capability. But what we are going to talk about is the framework and how the TOGAF framework enables this. So it doesn't matter what the mechanism is. The TOGAF framework gives you guidelines around how this can be implemented. So let's talk about the Enterprise Architecture Repository. Now, at a high level, the Enterprise Architecture Repository is split into three different sections as guided by the TOGAF framework. The first section is obviously the Enterprise Architecture Repository, and then we have the Solutions Repository and the Requirements Repository. The solutions repository will obviously contain solution architectural artifacts, which will be stored there. And the requirements repository will obviously contain the requirements. Now, we have to remember that this is a framework. It only guides that you should have a requirement repository and you should have a solution repository. How it is implemented would depend on the kind of tooling that you're using. So, for example, if you're using Jira to manage your requirements, that is all right. TOGAF does not specify which tool should be used or how the tool should be implemented, etc., etc. It's completely technology and tool vendor neutral. But it does say that you should have a requirement repository and you should have a solutions repository. Now let's come to the enterprise architecture repository. The enterprise architecture repository is further split into six different sections. The first section is the architecture meta model. The second is the reference library, and then we have the architecture landscape. We have standards, we have governance, and then we have the architecture capability. And we'll talk about each of them one by one today. So let's start with the architecture meta model. The architecture meta model section of the architecture repository contains details about the framework that you're going to be using to do enterprise architecture. So while TOGAF framework is a good standard, you have to understand that it's a very generic standard, and every organization will have to take this TOGAF standard and customize it according to their specific needs. While it specifically defines all the different artifacts, deliverables, and different types of building blocks that you can use to do enterprise architecture, it is not necessary that you have to use it as is. If you are a small organization and if you find it too complex, then you can simplify it. If you are a very large organization and if you find the TOGAF framework is not sufficient for you, you can expand it. You can make it more complex. In fact, TOGAF 10 now provides you with, I'm not going to get too much into detail of that, but different modes of from simple to complex. And, you know, it also provides you with the different kinds of changes that you can make depending upon the kind of organization that you are. At this point in time, simple to complex, small to large, etc. But let's not get into that. The whole point is that you have to customize the TOGAF framework according to your specific needs. Now, the architecture meta model that I was talking about earlier stores information about the customized OGA framework that you're going to be using as a part of your organization. So if you have simplified the framework, then you can provide details about how you have simplified it. Have you simplified the process? Have you simplified the content that you're going to be using, whether it's deliverables, artifacts, or building blocks? Have you customized the terminology to suit your organizational terminology more? What have you done? So those details are stored in the architecture meta model. Now, when I say stored in the meta model, the first thing that comes to mind is you are going to create a Word document or a PDF file, and then you are going to store it there. But if you create a PDF file or a Word document, nobody's going to read it. So in the real world, right, enterprise architecture tools provide the mechanism to store this. How do you store it? You store it into the configuration file of the tool. So for example, if you say that in the business architecture phase, we are going to create a business footprint diagram, right? We are going to create a business function application matrix. Now, when you go to the business architecture phase within the tool, it will give you a list of all the deliverables that have been specified in the configuration files, deliverables that you're going to be working on as a part of the business architecture phase. So, you know, it's configured into the tool. In the previous episode, we talked about certain rules which are specified in the content meta model, where an actor is not able to access the data entity because you require an application or a technology component to do that. These rules can also be specified into the configuration file of the tool. So that configuration file of the tool becomes the architecture meta model. So if you specify a rule, for example, into the configuration file that an actor cannot access a data entity directly, if you create a relationship between an actor and the data entity, it will warn you or give you an error saying that according to the content meta model specified in the architecture meta model, you're not allowed to create this rule. Would you like to overrule it, or, you know, or would you like to add an application or a technology component to the diagram, etc., etc.? So the tool will make sure that you follow the rules. So now, you know, it's not just a Word document that's lying somewhere, nobody's reading it. It's now a live framework, you know. It implements the rules that you've set. It implements the framework that you've set. So that's the architecture meta model. And then next is reference library, which is a little bit more standardized. All the reference architectures and reusable materials that you create as a part of the architecture projects or architecture activity can be stored in the reference library. Quite simple, actually, no explanation required there. And then there's the architecture landscape. Now, architecture landscape is split further into three different sections. There's the strategic architectures, segment architectures, and capability architectures. And it is obvious that you are going to store strategic architectural deliverables and artifacts in the strategic architecture section, segment architectural deliverables and artifacts in the segment architecture, and capability architectural deliverables and artifacts into capability architecture section of the architecture landscape. Now, how we are going to store it, and this is also not a file-based system, you know, we'll come to that. I mean, it could be, but, you know, we'll come to that in the next episode of Enterprise Architecture Radio. So we'll go there when we've explained everything and we go deeper into tooling. And then the next section is standards, right? So enterprise architecture teams usually set up standards for the organization, and there are four different types of standards that have been defined by TOGAF. There is business standards, data standards, application standards, and technology standards, obviously. And then business standards are implemented during the business architecture phase of the ADM. Implemented meaning kept in mind when you're doing the design. Application architecture standards are kept in mind when you're doing the application architecture. Data architecture standards are kept in mind when you're building the data architecture, and technology architecture sections standards are kept in mind when you are working on the technology architecture phase of the ADM. And post-implementation also, these standards need to be adhered to. Now the question arises, is this a Word document or a PDF file? So enterprise architecture tooling will provide you with the capabilities to use different standard tools. So for example, for security standards and technology standards, we've got the NIST standards. NIST standards form a comprehensive set of standards, which essentially tell you that when it comes to technologies, these are the things that you should be keeping in mind. Now, there are tools available like Guardium, etc., which implement these standards. So they would scan your entire IT asset landscape, whether it's server side or client side, and it would give you warnings and alerts that these are the standards which are not being followed. So if there is a server that has a certain port open, which should not be as per the standard, then it would give you a warning that, you know, this needs to be fixed and so on and so forth. So TOGAF standard does not specify that, you know, you have to write it down in a Word document. If you choose to write it down in a Word document and publish a PDF, that is also fine. You know, there are many organizations that do that. But it can be enforced using software capabilities as well, right? So that is standards, and those standards can be considered as a part of the architecture repository. The next comes governance log. Governance log is enterprise architects perform governance. There are two kinds of governance. One is governance on the various architecture projects that are getting implemented at this point in time. Is the implementation being done as per the standards or not? Is the implementation being done as per design or not? There are various milestones in the governance. You could do, if you're following a standard SDLC process, then you could do governance during requirements phase, during design phase, during implementation phase, during production cutover phase, and so on, post-production as well. So if you're doing sprint, then you could do governance after every sprint or before every release, or, you know, depending upon the organizational standard, you could decide. The outcome of the governance is stored in the governance log, and it is further split into six different sections, which I'll not get into too much detail, but essentially the details of the governance activity and the outputs is stored in the governance log section. One thing that I would like to talk about the governance log is there are a few capability assessments that we do as a part of the enterprise architecture activity as well. A capability assessment is how mature, you know, are we? Now, how mature are we as an enterprise architecture team or capability? Are we mature enough? And there are a set of questions that can be asked as a survey. Like, for example, are you using a mature enterprise architecture tool or not? Is the senior leadership team committed to the enterprise architecture activity or not? Is procurement engaged with enterprise architecture team or not before the procurement happens? Enterprise architecture team needs to govern what technologies are being procured, which vendors are being procured, and so on and so forth, and are they as per standard or not, and so on and so forth. So there is a list of questions that can be answered to assess, and there is a capability maturity model that we use, and there is a previous episode that where I have talked about these capability assessments. There's also a capability assessment for business transformation readiness. So, you know, outputs of those can also be stored in the governance log section of the architecture repository. So we did architecture meta model, where we store, you know, our framework. We did reference library. We did architecture landscape. We did standards. We did governance log, right? The sixth section is called the architecture capability. Now, this has details about our own architecture team. What is the team structure? The process of how we are doing architecture, who are the stakeholders, what is the budgeting requirements, etc., etc. So that forms the architecture repository. In the next episode, we will talk about the architecture landscape specifically, and we'll talk about how architecture deliverables, artifacts, and building blocks are stored in the architecture landscape, how automation is implemented, how the architecture tools truly leverage the power of reusability of building blocks. We'll take a look at that in the next episode. I hope you found this episode valuable and interesting, and I hope that it has raised a few questions about enterprise architecture repositories or about how enterprise architecture is done. Please feel free to reach out, not just to me, but to everybody who's engaged in this enterprise architecture podcast. So, once again, I would like to remind you that Enterprise Architecture Radio is not just a podcast. It is a community of practicing enterprise architects, learning enterprise architects, IT professionals, and even business people for that matter, coming together. There is an Enterprise Architecture Radio Telegram group, and there is an Enterprise Architecture Radio discussion group on LinkedIn. Look it up. Join the community, because this community is all about learning from each other, guiding each other, but most importantly, having a ton of fun with all this. That's all I have for you today, folks. I hope you enjoyed the show. More about organizational agility, innovation, and enterprise architecture in the practical world in the business right here on the show. But before I end the show, I want you to help me out with this one little thing. Pause the show and share this podcast via WhatsApp or text message with at least one person who might be interested in the show. It could be anyone, your colleague, your boss, someone in your team. That's all I ask. Just one share with one message via text or WhatsApp or any social media of your choice. And it would go a long way in supporting this podcast and growing this listener base. Also, please don't forget to follow the podcast. That way, you'll get notified when we publish a new episode. If you want to find out more about us, you can find us at enterprisearchitectureradio.com. If you have ideas, thoughts, disagreements, please feel free to write to me directly. We also have a Telegram group if you would like to contribute to the EA discussions or what have you. Just search for Enterprise Architecture Radio on Telegram. The URL to join the group is https://t.me/EnterpriseArchitectureRadio. While our contact details are there in the show notes, we are very easy to find. Just search for Enterprise Architecture Radio anywhere. Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, even Discord. Once again, I hope you had fun, and I'll see you in the next one.